sermon text this morning. It's from Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6. Proverbs 17, verse 6. Now hear the word of the Lord. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. We will sing of your mercies forever, O Yahweh. The heavens praise your wonders. You are greatly to be feared in the holy assembly. Who is mighty like you? Your covenant faithfulness surrounds you. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Bless us who know the joyful sound, for we walk in the light of your countenance. Keep your mercy forever, your covenant to stand firm in your Son from generation to generation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, your words to listen for this morning are generation and children. Generation and children. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we conclude our short sermon series on the family and the home. In this series, we have heard the importance of hearts and lives of gratitude. Hearts and lives of gratitude. Attitudes of self-sacrifice. And these last two Lord's Days, we've heard of God's design for men and women. This morning, we conclude the series with a sermon on grandparents and children. Now, our task as human beings, as image bearers, is to think God's thoughts after him. Some call this a biblical worldview. The Bible must shape our thinking, our speech, and be the center of our lives. As it pertains to the home and the church, we must have the right view of children and our elders, grandparents, what the Bible calls the gray head. And this right view has been lost in our age. Abortion and euthanasia are two fruits at the forefront of our ethical rebellion against the law of God. In this rebellion against God, we, humanity, have confused our own thinking. We look at everything the wrong way. For example, in abortion, the mother's womb is the most dangerous place for a baby. That is completely backward. And it ought to be no coincidence in our age that those deceived in darkness attack babies who symbolize new life and the gray heads who symbolize glory. We need to right our thinking. Humanity needs to repent and find forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abortion and euthanasia must be wiped off the face of this earth. We need the cleansing blood of Jesus, not the blood of innocent babies in the womb. The goals of humanity are wisdom and maturity. That's not a stage of life when it's reached that is to be immediately treated by with death. Now, you've heard it said these last 2 weeks that God made man in his image, male and female, to go out into the world and on into the future. to go out into the world and on into the future. Hold this in your thinking. Boys and girls, your task is to go out into the world and on into the future for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this task is central to God's creational design and our kingdom purpose. In creation, God created human beings and charged them to be fruitful and multiply. Being fruitful and multiplying is future-oriented. That is, on into the future. Be fruitful, multiply, look to the future. So we have children. The family extends to the next generation. And then that generation has children. And then another generation is extended. The family now has a history and a future. God's grace through parents and God's grace in grandparents. God's blessings on into the future. God also tasked mankind to spread throughout the earth. In the propagation of the human race through the generations, families have to spread out. This would include the maturation from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden out into the land of Eden, and then going forth and filling the whole earth. That is out into the world. God's design here didn't stop in the fall. Human beings continue to have babies, you may have noticed. And people continue to get older. That's not a flaw, it is a feature. Multiply, fill the earth. Now our sermon text, our sermon verse, speaks to God's focus on generations in the family. Boys and girls, who are children's children? Who's being pointed out to there? Grandchildren. Very good. Children's children are grandchildren. And Proverbs tells us they are the crown for grandparents in their old age. This means that grandparents will have glory on their heads as they look back to two subsequent generations. They have one generation, they have their own children. And then another generation, their children's children, their grandchildren. And that is their glory. It is a crown. This from Proverbs. This is wisdom teaching. Its primary focus is to young people who are entering adulthood. Proverbs opens with specifically a father charging, exhorting his son as he goes out into the world. And he gives them warnings about potential dangers in the world, including avoiding the wrong people. Don't have bad friends. Avoid the adulterous woman. The father reminds his son to remember what he's been taught by his mother and father, the previous generation. The young man is to grow in wisdom, get wisdom, become a wise man. And this family teaching of Proverbs 17, verse 6, this is part of what he ought to have been taught already. But he needs to keep it in his thinking. Have a godly family. Be generationally focused. Not just your own generation. Not just your own home life, your own bank account, your own temporary enjoyment, what you're doing this upcoming weekend. Don't just look to those things. Look to the long term, to the next generation. Look at your children. So in that, with your children, teach them the ways of the Lord. Remember your father and mother's teaching, that wisdom that's been imparted to you. Teach that to your children. Why might a ascending father and mother want their young son or daughter going out into the world to teach what they've been taught to the next generation? Because those will be, they're their grandchildren. This teaching that we've given you, give to the grandkids. Because those grandchildren will be the crown, the glory. Young people, you have some experience in life. And you're seeking to grow in wisdom and maturity. So as I have done to you, as your parents have done to you, impart that wisdom to your children. Because we're growing as a family. The generations are being extended on into the future. We're having descendants now. And as I am teaching you this day, as parents, one day you will teach your sons and daughters. And then they will grow. And then you will send them out into the world. Yes, one day you will teach your children the birds and the bees. But you'll teach them a lot more than that. In Proverbs, we have Solomon, father, teaching his son, presumably Rehoboam, who would be king. And then Rehoboam would age, and then he would teach his son, who would be Abijah, King Abijah. This is generational teaching. So when Solomon taught his son, Rehoboam, he was teaching his grandson, children's children. When you teach your children, you are also teaching your grandchildren. Boys and girls, do you know when you are listening to mom and dad be taught, they're also teaching the future babies you're going to have? So listen closely, because you have to repeat this lesson. Take notes if you have to. Parents teach grandchildren, those who have not yet been born. And this is both in the good teaching and the bad teaching. What gets taught is passed on to the next generation. When you impart a good and faithful lesson, your children take it to heart. They can faithfully live by it. They can produce fruit by it. Boys and girls, think in your minds right now. Have mom and dad taught you a good lesson in your life? Does one come to mind when you learn something especially important? Maybe it was a school lesson. Maybe it was how to perform a specific task. Did they teach that to you? You can teach that to your kids, their grandparents. When you raise faithful and godly children, they are more likely to themselves raise faithful and godly children of their own. Your children's children, your grandchildren. They repeat the good lessons to their children. And when you teach bad and faithless lessons, when you give bad examples to your children, they take that too to heart. And they can say, I don't want that for my children. Boys and girls, have your parents ever taught you a bad lesson? Did they ever sin against you and come back later and repent of it? Because boys and girls, your parents aren't perfect. They're going to make mistakes. That's why you need to be long-suffering. Because you have imperfect parents. Parents, we need to understand that the day-to-day lessons, the day-to-day teachings, those regular, mundane interactions with our children impact the next generation. Faithful fathers and faithful mothers raise up godly seed to the second generation. Faithful sons and daughters raise their own godly seed And when that first generation reaches old age, when they are mature and wise, they can look back and see the glory in their grandchildren. Boys and girls, do you ever look at your grandparents and say, "Wow, they are glorious. My grandparents are so glorious." Now, sadly, there are some links that break in the chain. This teaching from Proverbs is general teaching. In God's hard providence, some parents fail to carry on the grace that they've received unto the next generation. They may have been raised in a Christian home, but they don't impart that to their children. Some children grow rejecting God's promises, and they leave to be prodigals in the world. Boys and girls, is it a good idea or a bad idea to reject God's promises? Is it a good idea or a bad idea to leave the church when you get to be old enough to leave the home? Those are both bad ideas. Tragically, some children raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord depart from it. Not every father is the glory of his children. Not every child is a crown. But we would still be wise to apply this teaching to our homes and to our church, to be generationally focused, generationally concerned. We would also be wise to recognize the present-day blessings that children provide. We're talking about being long-term. We're talking about looking to the next generation. But children are a blessing right now. Yes, our covenant children are the future of the church, but they are the present of the church as well. We will shoot our children as grown arrows out into the world, but they serve today. And you'll see this in your liturgy on the inside front cover from Psalm 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you, God, have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Because of God's enemies, to silence those enemies, God has established strength through the mouths of nursing babes and infants. So those little rascally ones in the pew right now, even the ones that fall off the pew onto the floor, God has established strength through them to silence the foe and the avenger. The children participate in our fighting the dark forces today. The children presently are warriors fighting spiritual warfare. Now, this does not mean that we foolishly send them abroad to be missionaries now in nations that are antagonistic to the gospel. Who wants to send their children to China right now, the little ones in the pew? That would be unwise. But we do serve arm in arm with them right now. They sing with us. They pray with us. They worship God with us. That's why they're here in this room with us, not doing something with elbow macaroni in the back. Our children do good works. They shine their light before men. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself commended their childlike faith as that which is worth emulating. Faith like a child. Now, I do this with the kids. Adults, men and women, do you try to mimic your children's faith? Because Jesus says that's the faith we're supposed to have. A childlike trust and dependence. Do we view faith positively in this way? Do we view our children in this way? The little wriggly bodies in the pew next to you, they're fighting Satan right now. They're fighting the dark forces. Now, in our covenantal parental responsibilities and fulfilling them, we do train them for the international task that they have ahead of them for the gospel. And we use them in appropriate ways right now. The trajectory for our children is greater kingdom responsibilities as their God-given abilities provide opportunity. Train our children for greater kingdom responsibilities as their God-given abilities provide opportunity. And as we do that, bringing them up, then send them out into the world, then send them out into the future as arrows for that kingdom war. One theologian wrote, "We are to train our children not just to avoid evil now, but to conquer evil. We are to train children who know not just how to interpret the world, but how to transform it. Avoid evil now, but conquer evil in the long term. Don't just interpret the evil. Don't just take in the world. Interpret the world, but be ready to go out and transform it. You young people who are getting ready to go out into the world, are you ready to transform the world? Do you know that that's your job? Transform the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. Parents, train your children for those future battles. Because the next generation, they will be at the front line. Yes, they fight now, but in the future, they'll fight with greater responsibilities. As one author wrote, our children are to grow that they would leave craters in the world of secularism. So how do we do this? When Solomon raised his children, he ought to have taught his children the importance of God's law. We need to teach our children God's law. Boys and girls, do you know what the two greatest commandments are? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two greatest commandments. The law is summarized. It's founded on those two great commandments. Do you know the Ten Commandments, boys and girls? You should know those Ten Commandments. You should memorize them. Hide them in your heart and your mind so that you would obey God. And the law is a building block unto wisdom. So parents, teach your children the law. And as they grow, teach them the wisdom literature. Boys and girls, what books of the Bible are the wisdom literature? Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And then as children leave home and they go out into the world, are they wise? Are they able to go out and create new worlds, to build new families and new homes? Are we preparing them for that? Not just to get a good job. That's not your task as a parent. It's to send them out to get a good job. It's to raise them up, to serve the kingdom, to love God, and to create new worlds, new families, new homes. King Solomon was certainly wise. How did he do as king? He still stumbled. He sinned grievously. Horrible wickedness existed among the people of God due to Solomon's fall. One can be wise and still fall. It's not foolproof. Yet parents still are to image to their children the right priorities of life. What are those right priorities? Worship God. Love neighbor. Produce good fruit. Get wisdom. Our children are set on the trajectory of who the parents are. Think of a train pulling the cars behind it. Parents set the children on the right track and they show them how to live. And then when they're old and mature enough, they go out and do it on their own. Had they been set on the right track? The Lord says children are to love, look up, and follow their parents. They are your trajectory. Parents, and really grandparents, are the end of what the children are to become. Both good and bad. That's how we raise them. Now, this is not completely set in stone, because God graciously saves people, adults and kids, out of sinful homes. One example of this is Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel 18, if a man is just and does what is lawful and right, if he has walked in my statutes and kept my judgments faithfully, he is just. He shall surely live, says the Lord God. But if he begets a son who is a robber or a shedder of blood who does any of these things, if he has exacted usury or taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. If he has done any of these abominations, he shall surely die. His blood, the son's blood, shall be upon him. But if however, he begets a son who sees all the sins which his father has done, and considers but does not do them likewise, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. So even if we have faithless parents, by the grace of God, our children can grow and find new life. Find forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Now, families may produce both an Abel and a Cain. Families may produce both a Jacob and an Esau. God will resurrect godly seed out of homes of death. God will resurrect godly seed out of homes of death. And covenant children can grow good fruit or produce thorns and thistles. So let us raise and instruct our children to the view of what we want to see them as when they are grandparents, as glorified people. It doesn't always work out the way we want it. It doesn't always work out according to our plan. But we faithfully and diligently work toward that, trusting in God's promises. We have to be wholly reliant upon His grace. Glory is eschatological. Children, as you grow up, look at the examples that you see. Boys and girls, do your grandparents love God? Do your parents love God? Do they obey the word? Do they love the word? Do they teach you the word? Boys and girls, do your parents love coming to worship? If so, follow their path. Follow their trajectory. Take their teaching to heart. Build on what they started. Build on what your faithful grandparents have started 2 generations ago. If you don't have that, or you haven't had that, You cling to the mercy of God and you get wisdom. Because you can still learn from bad examples. Bad grandparents, faithless grandparents, faithless parents. So seek out other godly examples. If the foundation of your upbringing was on sand, go to the church. Because the church is founded on the rock. Here we have wise and faithful older generations. Here we have older generations who've laid a good foundation here in their homes and in the church. God's gracious covenant family is the church. We are united here as brothers and sisters. There are fathers and mothers in our covenant family here. There are grandparents here who have wisdom to impart. If you have a sin that has torn apart your nuclear family, the Lord graciously blesses you here in this covenant community. Now, you don't have to give up on your blood family. We can still pray, we can still serve, we can still witness to God's grace to those who are living faithlessly. By His gracious plan, you may be the first of many of those He brings out of the darkness of your home. So cling to His grace. And extend that grace to brothers and sisters who have sin in their families, who have loved ones, who either don't believe or have rejected the faith. Love and minister to them. Mourn with those who mourn. Comfort them, strengthen them. If we do this right in the church, the promises for the family in Proverbs 17, verse 6, apply here too. Proverbs 17, verse 6 applies here too. Older generations, grayheads, if you bless and minister to the young ones here, they can be crowns to you too. Because there are some covenant children here who need more Christian grandparents. You can bless the children here. You can bless the grandchildren here who aren't your blood relatives. Because water is thicker than blood. The water of baptism is thicker than blood. Young people, children here, look to the older men and women in this church as your trajectory, as your end, the glory you would like to become. Desire to grow up to be godly and wise, to faithfully produce the fruit of the Spirit, because the Lord has placed you in this covenant family for a reason. This isn't random that you're here. So surround yourselves with wise and godly people who are outside your generation. And remember, cling to that grace. Every person here has been blessed with immense grace. Despite the imperfections of our lives, despite our sins and other sins in our lives, in our families, God has been kind to us. So receive that grace and respond faithfully, taking responsibility to multiply the grace, multiply those talents He's given you. Grow in that grace. Grace to love, grace to do works for the kingdom. Whether you're a child all the way to a gray head, grow that and look to the long term. You've been blessed now. Someone else has put time and effort into you, into your family, and into the church. So build on that. Build on the grace that's been given to you. Glorify it. Make it better. Young people, children, do it. Do it for your children. Do it for your grandchildren, and do it for the kingdom. for Jesus' sake. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have blessed us with the joy and care of children. Give us calm strength and patient wisdom as we bring them up, that we may teach them to love and live faithful and holy lives, following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in our fathers and mothers in the faith who have gone before us. Thank you for blessing us with their wisdom and example. Guard our faithfulness and be wise stewards of your blessings. Look with mercy on all whose increasing years, as their strength diminishes, increase their faith and their assurance of your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.